Let's face it, shopping for car or home insurance is complicated with hundreds of providers and thousands of policies. It's hard to know whether you're getting the right policy for your needs. That's where The Zebra can help you. The Zebra compares quotes from the top insurance companies side by side in under 5 minutes, finding a provider with the right policy, the right coverage, and the right price for you. Save time and money. Compare quotes for free today at thezebra.com/VIALL. That's thezebra.com/VIALL. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another amazing Bachelorette recap edition of The Vile Files. I am your host, Nick, and we have a fantastic episode recap for you today, mostly because a wonderful guest, Zuri Hall, is back with us to break down this episode of The Bachelorette. Zuri, how are you?
Okay, I was like, do I get to talk? Because last time I was like, hello, everybody. And you were like, it's not your
turn no, yet. I'm definitely going to ask you to like shut up for a second.
Okay, I can do that. I can do that.
I'm just kidding. No, but how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I've been really busy between Access Hollywood and Ninja Warrior airing Monday nights on NBC. I'm busy, but
that's
it's
awesome.
Good. I'm no complaints. How are you?
So good. Got a dog.
Did you? My puppy comes tonight.
Really?
First time dog owner reporting for duty.
I got my puppy at night too. And
really?
It was like a weird like, hey, it's like 1 a.m, like nice to meet you, go to bed.
Right. I'll see you in the morning. What kind of dog?
It's an Australian Cobber dog. He's like in the Doodle family.
Okay. So I've got a little Doodle action too. We're doing a toy golden Doodle.
Okay, so we'll have similar looking.
We'll have to have
a play date.
I can't wait.
It's your first dog.
First dog, 100%.
It's my first dog.
I'm ready to love something.
I'm obsessed.
I'm excited. Nick's doing play dates with dogs. Like I never thought I'd see the day and be like, can we do a dog play date?
I'm literally getting a tattoo of Jeff on my body.
Is that the name of the dog?
His name's Jeff.
I love that.
Yeah, there he is.
Oh. Stop it right now. Wait, what? Are you sure it's not a golden doodle 100%?
Well, Australian Cobber dog is a type of golden doodle.
Okay.
It's just like a fancy one.
Oh.
With like thicker coat.
Yours is a redhead like mine.
Yeah. They're going to look pretty similar.
Oh my goodness.
Mine will be about 30 pounds when he's done.
Okay, got it. Mine will be about 10 to 12.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but played it. Like I'm obsessed.
I can't wait.
Him right now. Like I just want to wrap this up so I can go home and cuddle with him.
Okay, well I need like pro tips after this about the first week with a puppy because I'm a little anxious.
I was too.
Yeah.
But I think you're going to be.
It's going to be great.
In good hands.
It's going to be fun.
Before we get into our recap, just a couple housekeeping notes. Be sure to go in and check out our Ask Nick episodes that dropped on Monday for some hard-hitting relationship advice and stories. Don't forget to nominate The Vile Files for Top Podcast under Society and Culture and Top Male Host if you want. We'd appreciate it. Always appreciate your guys' support. We have a great episode for you Wednesday. With the very talented and wonderful Olivia O'Brien. She joins us to just talk about life and get her thoughts on relationships, dating, music, all sorts of fun things. I think that covers it all, Chrissy.
That's it.
Should we get to Zuri?
Yeah.
Katie?
I mean, I've been waiting here forever.
And does Greg like Katie?
That would be nice.
All right.
Let's
get to it. Before we get into The Bachelorette, let's just spend a few minutes talking about the cast of The Bachelor in Paradise, which that was recently released, if you will. Some nice characters, a lot of the familiar faces, some of Katie's men. We're now seeing Aaron, Connor, James, Grocery Store Joe's making a comeback. Yeah, some guys from some gals from Matt James this season. It's an all-star cast. Noah, I think, will be interesting. Tammy, Trey's on there. It's always my favorite time of year when they release the Bachelor in Paradise cast because it's always that time where other alumni from the franchise will lie and go out of their way to do like interviews and talk how it just wasn't the right time for them. And You know, the producers asked me if I wanted to go on the show, but it just didn't feel right. Like, I'm here to tell you that they're all lying. They begged.
And they didn't get
And they didn't get on. Listen, and I'm sure there's some exceptions to the rule. And that's not to say there are people who the producers wanted that opted not to come. We just don't hear from them. Mm-hmm. They don't go out and give interviews and talk about how it wasn't the right time for them and they're just in a different stage of their life. Like, they all begged to go on this damn show, didn't get on, and now they're here to let everyone know that they didn't really, just wasn't just for them. It happens every year. It's always my favorite time. I'm like, yeah, you begged. And then there's plenty of people who, like I said, you just don't hear from the people who actually turned it down. It's always hysterical. Do you have any people you're excited to see?
I'm excited to see Natasha in Paradise.
Natasha, yes. Yeah, Natasha's there. Yeah, Natasha, a good friend. I saw her in New York afterwards. I asked her how it went. And just spoiler alert for Natasha, she just said she cried the whole time.
Did she?
Which I felt bad as a friend, but also... as a viewer, yes.
Tell me more. I mean, well, I'm
super excited.
I'm sorry Natasha's crying. I hope they're happy tears. She's torn between so many love interests.
TBD.
I hope that's it.
TBD, yeah.
We'll just dot that.
Anyone else?
I'm excited to see Joe make a comeback for sure, too.
Sir Joe,
I'm curious to see how that'll play out. But I would say those are the two for me that I'm most interested in seeing what goes down. Okay. Do you have any that you're rooting for?
Rooting for?
Strong word choice.
Yeah.
Casually interested in.
I'm curious how Abigail does. Obviously, she was a big fan favorite in Matt James season, but like the biggest kind of fade out from a first impression rose we've seen in a long time. Jones. So like she has an opportunity, you know, can she make a comeback after kind of, you know, flatlining on the Bachelor?
Yeah.
I'm really curious who the big question is. You know, you have, it's always where, like the villain on The Bachelor, it's always the person who comes in, Bachelor in Paradise rather, comes in feeling themselves from the attention and love and adoration they got from their previous season. And they come in thinking everyone's going to like me and I'm here, and they get a little caught up in the attention and I'm always curious who's that going to be.
I feel like you just directly looked at someone that you think it's going to
be. Well, I think, well, you know, like, let's just look at it's the people who again, were America's sweethearts. So like, Brendan could possibly, Ian, Connor B maybe.
Okay.
Like any of these guys who are just like unproblematic sweethearts.
About to pluck it up in
like
Paradise.
Easily could go in there. Like, again, it's the classic, it's Blake, you know, where, like not.
But then you're going to have your opposites, the queen, the Victorias and all that stuff that come in. The ones who are doing the interviews and doing all that stuff and are like trying to show that they've changed from the show. And this is their like try at redemption, because Paradise, no offense, Nick, is a place for people to try and have that redemption story come through.
Yeah. There's only one Ben Higgins. And everyone else is just someone who wishes they were, but they're just a fuckboy deep down. And that's okay. But like, don't be showing up thinking that you can keep letting America think you're Ben Higgins when you're not.
Ben Higgins, long may he reign.
All right, well, let's get into this episode. How are you enjoying this season so far, Zuri?
I am enjoying it. This is the most non-toxic experience from a viewer's perspective that I think I've had. And at first I was like, oh, is it boring with you know, all of the drama getting out of the way earlier on? But I kind of love it. Like, watching this last episode, I was like, nothing crazy had to happen, nothing unbelievable. And yet I enjoyed it. The rain scene was a little bit on the nose, but otherwise...
I kind of liked it.
I mean, at the end I did. I was like, oh my God, I believe in love again. Yeah. But to start, I was like, okay, they're like on the back lot, right?
Yeah, it's interesting that you said that. It's a very, in a lot of ways, a non-toxic season. And yet I agree. I have been enjoying it. I think there's been plenty of interesting drama. Like last episode was kind of a throwaway. But we're, you know, this episode seemed to be a little more meaningful and like... Yeah. You know, we're getting back to some like meaningful storylines as we kind of get into the the tail end of the season.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of that, you got to give Katie credit for being a very kind of open and, you know, she's always kind of communicating her feelings. Again, whether you agree with her decisions or disagree. And, you know, I've loved Katie as a bachelorette, but there have been moments where I'm like, not my favorite Katie moment or whatever. But either way, she's kind of facilitating the drama. And I don't mean like, and again, in a toxic way, but she is, through her openness and kind of just always kind of letting America know how she's thinking and feeling, is kind of leading to some captivating stuff. Each and every, we can't say enough about how great this natural deodorant is. I use it every day. Natalie is now on the Each and Every train. If you're going to put, you want to smell good with not putting toxic things on your body, your skin is your largest organ. It's going to absorb whatever you put on your body into your organs. So make sure that is going to be healthy, natural ingredients. Each and Every doesn't have the crap like aluminum, parabens, and other hidden chemicals that most deodorants and antiperspirants have. So if you have sensitive skin, or if you just want to be health conscious, use Each and Every that have 6 simple ingredients. It's also vegan and cruelty free. I smell good all day long. I am a sweater. I will put it on in the morning and I smell delicious all day long. So trust us, Each and Every is an everyday essential. You've got to try this. And we have a special deal just for our listeners, 30% off your first purchase. Visit RURL, eachandevery.com/VIALL, and use promo code VIALL30. Don't wait, get 30% off now. Use promo code VIALL30 at eachandevery.com/VIALL. ShipStation. That's right. Small business owners, people working from home, needing to ship. Give great customer service to your customers. Make life easy on you, all while getting the same shipping rates that the Fortune 500 companies are getting. Shipping is often one of the most expensive parts of your business. So make sure that you're saving all the money you possibly can, all while making life easier on you and your customers. Again, you get great analytics. We use it for natural habits every day, whether you're shipping UPS, FedEx, USPS. Easy to compare carriers and choose the best solutions possible every time. With ShipStation, small businesses can now access the same rates usually reserved for your Fortune 500 companies without the contracts or commitments. Ship more in less time for a lot less money. Just use my offer code VIALL to get a 60-day free trial. That's 2 months free of no hassle, stress-free shipping. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in VIALL. That is ShipStation.com. Enter code VIALL. Make ship happen.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, she's so emotionally intelligent. She's so in touch with who she is and what she wants and what she doesn't. And I also appreciate that she doesn't waste time when she knows she doesn't want a thing. Outside of that whole Andrew moment at the end of the episode that kind of like went back and forth for a while.
Yeah, we'll get into that. That was kind of nonsense.
Yeah.
So the episode opens with, we're just kind of, well, it's just the date card, right? It's Greg gets the first one-on-one.
The best one-on-one.
He gets a great one-on-one. I got to say, I mean, I think the producers are caring less and less about love.
Why? Because they were tossing the fish around?
No, I mean, again, it's quarantine bachelor, yeah. Right? So it's a different, they have less time. I think they're filming in 6-7 weeks rather than 8-9 weeks, something like that. But at most seasons, 2 or 3 people before hometowns, like the front runners, are getting their second one-on-one. And Greg is the only one who's getting 2 one-on-ones. It was kind of the same for Matt James's season. By the time you got to the end, you're like, half these people here still like have had no time 100%. With the lead, right? Yeah, yeah. And it's just like, they're just like, yeah, fuck it. You don't really get to need to know this person. The bubble will make you fall in love. We don't really give a shit.
Honestly, you know, it happened to a lot of people in the pandemic.
Yeah.
You're just stuck with somebody and you're like, this will do.
Yeah, like whatever. So it's just kind of fascinating just to like realize that, you know, Greg's gotten time, no one else is even close to the time that Greg has gotten. And they obviously talk, you know, you got Mike and you got Brendan, you know, and it's pretty obvious going in that those guys are going home this week.
100%.
But, you know, right off the bat. So, like, classically, you're going to give Greg the first one-on-one because that's going to create a tension with everyone else. these guys really clearly love each other, I think, more than they like Katie, because there really is no animosity.
That's what I'm saying.
You're just like, hey, man, like Greg's just like, oh, shit. And they're like, right. Hey, man, it's cool. Like good for you. You deserve it.
You deserve this more than anyone else in the house. I'm like, dude, you're in the house. I'm so confused.
So, yeah, I think they clearly are into each other. And then they go on a date. I like the date. They are stuck in the same damn place. It's been even this episode, it was kind of funny. They're even airing some of the guys and Katie being like, oh, it's the same room that we have all these dates in, just decorated slightly differently. So I thought it was cute, you know, like this is an opportunity for Katie, you know, Greg to get to know Katie's hometown a little bit. I thought it was set up really, really cute. Once again, Katie is checking in with Greg. Mm-hmm. And not the other way around. They seem to be really setting it up for... I thought a lot about our interview with Katie when she came in here on a couple of things. And Katie had mentioned one of the biggest things is she mentioned she legit got her heart broken. So we're all like, when's the shoe going to drop? Who's going to break her heart? Now, she also suggested that she got real physical with Mike on our podcast.
Wait, and the cuddle session?
That didn't seem to happen. So now Katie's credibility when it comes to her heartbreak is in question.
You don't know what to believe.
I don't know what to believe. We'll get to that. We'll get to Mike's date in a second. But they are really setting it up for Greg to be the one who breaks Katie's heart.
The only... Yeah, if it was any guy, I would think it was him because it seems that he's the one that she has the strongest connection with right now. But walking away from this episode, I am super team Greg. I felt like Katie was the one who was pulling back a little bit or maybe not giving as much as you'd expect. Maybe it's because she feels like, okay, I don't know if I can trust this guy with my heart. Because when he finally goes there and he says, you know, I'm falling in love with you, she kind of said everything except that.
Yeah.
And then the confessional moment where she's like, was that? No, that wasn't. Who was she talking to? Was she talking to Greg? When she's like, I'm falling in away. I mean, in love. I mean, oh, my God, it's just so crazy. Like, you forget how to say I'm falling in love with you. And I was like, what?
No, I think it was Greg. Right?
Was it Greg? Y'all know what
I'm
saying.
Yeah, that was Greg. Yeah, she was doing it. I was like, oh, my God, like, what am I doing?
Like, she stumbled over. Right. But to me, it was odd in that it feels like when you're supposed to like a guy or be falling in love and you're like, yeah, for sure. No, that's totally what's happening. But you can't even buy the BS that you're like selling.
I don't
believe they have so much chemistry. Like, I love them together.
You think they have chemistry?
I thought by the end of the date, yeah, he sold me.
So,
or maybe I just liked
Greg. I like Greg. Yeah. I'm like, but there's, you know, there's a lot of, it's the Greg's a fascinating character because he's clearly a fan favorite, but weirdly enough, there's also like this kind of small group of like, we don't trust Greg. Apparently he went to acting school at some point.
Can the man act? Like let him have a career passion.
If you went to acting school, that doesn't mean you can't like fall in love and be sincere.
Right.
Like anyone who's went to acting school is like, oh, well, never trust an actor. You know, like, I don't think that's quite fair. However, I'm having a hard time believing that Greg is really into Katie. Maybe it could be his low energy. I don't know. I don't see Greg's chemistry with Katie. His words seem to fall flat. And I ask myself, what if Greg and Thomas are the exact same and Greg is just better at what he's doing?
Interesting theory.
Yeah, what if he's just...
I get the one,
not coming so hard to the paint, so to speak. He's slow playing
just
a little.
Like, yes, yeah,
you know,
burn.
Maybe the acting school is in fact paying off.
Method. I could see that only because when they were like, Greg, you're getting the one-on-one date, and it was the most unenthusiastic, underwhelming. Oh my God, I can't believe it. This is crazy.
Yeah.
And I was like, does this guy even like want to go on this date with her? But then they started tossing the fish, and I was like, it's true love. I'm easily pleased.
Like, it doesn't take much.
No, he's a very charming guy. I love how when Katie checked in with him again, and then I wondered this because I'm like, oh, she's checking in again, him again, and then I thought, you know, wait, when I was when I was, because I've kind of related to, like, when I really liked Vanessa, like, there is a, whenever the lead, like, zeroes in on someone, there is a legitimate fear they have. I'm like, what if the person I like the most doesn't like me back, right? And so the question is that what we're seeing from Katie? But then I thought, you know what? I always checked in. Like, even people I knew I wasn't going to end up with, I'd be like, so how's this going for you? How are you doing? Like, right. I probably did that with everyone. I think I forgot about it. And so but what we do know is the show continues to air these check-ins that Katie has with Greg. How are you? How are you? I don't think that's an accident. I don't know what it's going to tell us. But whether Katie's only checking in with Greg or the show has decided to only air these check-ins with Greg, there's a build-up. It's not an accident. I love, again, maybe this is the acting school in Greg. I don't know. But I love how Greg very calmly listened to her question. She's like, it seems like you're going to leave. And Greg gave this kind of montage of like, in the longest possible way, I said, I know I'm really good looking now, but I used to like be short and skinny and I didn't get much attention. And like my greatest weakness is like not realizing how amazing I am, kind of thing.
It's
right.
It's like job interview. What's your weakness? I just try really hard. And I give my all. And sometimes
my mom tells me I don't realize that I'm a 10 when I think I'm a 6 and right, it's super right, weird. Right. And I just can't imagine, like, okay.
I know, because he was talking about was it the bullying he said growing up? That's the only part where I briefly questioned the sincerity, because obviously we know that Katie is not dealing with the BS, not dealing with the bullying. And she shut that down, obviously, in Matt's season. And it was a theme early on in her season. And so it kind of felt like I'm going to slide in this thing that I know will like pull at her heartstrings.
And I don't doubt that at some point in his life, Greg was bullied or picked on. I'm not trying to take that away from him. Mm-hmm. But I don't buy Michael's into Katie, Blake's into Katie. I don't see Greg that into Katie. You know what's even better than hiring smart people? Giving them the tools to make them even smarter if you don't get the hiring process right. And that's where the Canva Pro comes in. It's an easy-to-use design platform that has everything you need to design like a pro. Isn't that right, Allie?
It
makes
so
you look
right.
better than you actually is.
Yeah, 100%. It makes me look like I got a degree in graphic design when I definitely didn't.
You didn't?
I did not. I majored in musical theater. Somehow still got this job. I don't know.
She's a rock star, everyone.
We use it for Instagram posts. You can also format stories on there for your Instagram.
My grandmother needed a booklet made with photos of her friends, and it was super easy to just insert all the photos and make it look fancy and lovely.
Yeah, I used it for a Father's Day certificate because I bought him like something that was not there yet, and they have like templates for everything.
That's a great. Fake it till you make it. That's right. So design like a pro with Canva Pro. Right now, you can get a free 45-day extended trial when you use promo code, my promo code, just for you guys. Go to justcanva.com/VIALL to get your free 45-day extended trial. That's canva.com/me. That's canva.me, canva.me/VIALL, canva.me/VIALL. Hot take, your bank account should work with you and not against you. Chime is an award-winning app and debit card with no hidden fees or monthly minimums. After all, you earned your money. You deserve to keep it. Fee-free overdraft on up to $200 in debit purchases with SpotMe. It's like overdraft protection, but better. Get your paycheck, benefits, stimulus checks, and tax returns up to 200 days earlier with direct deposit. No hidden fees or monthly minimums. Plus, they have over 60,000 fee-free ATMs at locations like Walgreens, 7-Eleven, CVS, and more. That's more than the top three national banks combined. Turn on alerts that let you know when your card is used and instantly block your card if something seems fishy. You can enroll in an optional savings account and grow your savings automatically with 0.5 annual percentage yield, 10 times the national average. Join the millions at Chime. Sign up takes 2 minutes and doesn't affect your credit score. Apply now at chime.com/VIALL. That is chime.com/VIALL. Chime is a financial technology company. Banking services provided by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank N.A. Member FDIC. Eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Overdraft only applies to debit card purchases. Limit starts at $20 and may increase up to $200 by Chime. Early direct deposit depends on the payer. Out-of-network cash withdrawal fees applies. Third-party and cash deposit fees may apply. Go to chime.com/VIALL for details.
Huh.
I don't.
No, nobody. Am I the only one?
I could be wrong. Yeah.
Am I just, I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. I guess I'm just on Greg's supply right now.
I like Greg. I just don't know if I see the.
If he likes Katie.
I don't think he likes Katie.
Okay. All right.
But are you only thinking that, Nick, because Katie said that she's waiting for someone to break her heart. So like you're analyzing it differently when you're watching it. Cause I kind of feel like Zuri where I get like emotional and connected
it's
to like.
It's possible, but I guess I just don't buy it. Okay. I could be wrong. I just.
Do you buy, and is there any one connection that you feel like, okay, this is real and it's mutual?
Well, I have said that, again, I hate this because like, who am I? Like, what do I know about Katie's interest or connection? I wasn't there, but I feel like Katie should pick Blake because I think that seems to be the strongest mutual connection.
Okay.
Like, I think Katie is sincerely into Blake. I think Blake's sincerely into Katie. I think right now Katie might be more into Greg.
Right.
I think Michael's into Katie. I don't think Katie's really into Michael.
Right. Okay.
Right.
No, that makes sense.
And,
that makes sense.
Yeah.
Ooh, I got to say, out of all of those potential pairings, nothing screams let's get married to me at all. And I don't really know how.
Well, it is The Bachelorette, so.
Right. But sometimes I feel like there's someone where I could see, okay, you guys could somehow get swept up in this and propose and be like high on the love vibes for a little while. I don't see anyone doing that and feeling like even in the moment it was a good idea.
Maybe.
From the men's perspective.
I could see Blake and Katie. I could see it.
You see him
proposing?
Proposing, yeah. I'm not saying not together. I'm saying,
I think, I don't know.
Like, I still take this seriously, okay? When they get down on the knee, I'm like, they're committing to forever. This is a big deal. Well, granted, I'm the only one, but still.
Blake, and I guess I can relate to Blake, and you saw this a lot this episode. Like, Blake has this, I've done this once, I'm here, fuck it. Like, I'm just going for it. And he definitely, the kind of, first time rookie nerves, so to speak, Blake doesn't have. He, like, in a way where he's kind of even. Again, these guys are really nice because Blake is talking to these guys in a way that could easily other men could find triggering.
Mm-hmm.
It could be used against him when he's just like, I've been in your shoes before, man. I know what it's like.
But it's
like
so patronizing.
Yeah, it's so patronizing. And these guys are fine with it.
Yeah.
It's kind of incredible.
It's like a really good group of humans.
Yeah.
Very patient.
Ellie has something.
My question was, like, do you think when Blake was saying that, he's like, guys, as someone who's done this before, if you don't have a one-on-one by this point, you're kind of screwed. Like, was he actually trying to, like, give them advice from someone who's done it? Or was he trying to, like, plant seeds of doubt so that people would be like, I gotta go. And he's like, guess I'm the only one left.
I don't think Blake has a manipulative bone in his body. I could be wrong. I don't have that much faith in him that he would be that Machiavellian. I think he's a part of the show is what, you know, they're sitting there for 20 minutes while they're all like giving their two cents on the situation, which is like Greg just got another one-on-one and Brendan and Michael are sitting there, or Brendan and Mike. And I think, yeah, he's just, that's just what
saying
they air.
He knows.
Yeah. He's saying what he knows. And I don't think he's doing it to mess with him, and he's not wrong. Like, he's like, you legit have no shot.
Right.
You know, I thought Blake did Brendan a favor because, as we now know, we get the group date card. Brendan's name is not on it. And I'm just here to say, like, for everyone listening to this podcast, someone listening to this podcast is going to have a friend in the future who gets casted on the show. And I'm just here to tell you to sit that friend down and say, if you make it to the week before hometowns and you don't get a one, and you haven't had a one-on-one yet, and then you are finding yourself in Brendan's shoes, because Brendan is not the first time to be the person in this position. And if you are given the opportunity after you receive the disappointing news that you're just not going to get a one-on-one, and you get the opportunity to talk to the lead, here's what you do. You just go in and you just knock on their door and you say, hey, can you sit down? And you just compliment the shit out of them. You're like, you know, I just want you to know, like, I've had an amazing time. It's just, it's been such a pleasure to get to know you. I'm so grateful. But, you know, clearly, you know, as much as I really like you and I feel connection, obviously you have some great guys here. And because I didn't get a one-on-one, I think I want you to focus this limited time you have on the guys clearly you have stronger connections with. And I think I should just go. And I'm just here to thank you, and you're amazing. But like,
I feel so reverse psyched right now. Like, what's happening? Do I keep you now? Do I give you a rose?
And you, exactly. And you still go, but instead it's always, they go in there and Brandon's just like, he sits down all slow and he's just like, and then you get these like montages and these ITMs of like, if I just get like 20 minutes with her, I know she'll keep me. And he's just like, and I get it, but like, there's no way she already knows you're going home. Like that week started with like, who do we keep around so we can get them to show up to their door and beg, all while knowing. And then like that, it's always a classic case of, well, because you came to my door and you dumped all your feelings on me, I now realize it's just not fair to keep you around.
Right,
Just beat them to the punch.
Yeah.
Like, beat the lead or the producer to the punch and just show up and say,
I'm out.
It's time for me to go. Thank you. You're the greatest. There's some great people here. I want you. It doesn't make sense for me to still be here. I can't thank you enough.
But do you not feel like sometimes the guys or the women just get into game mode and you want to
100%. Win? 100%. And that's why I'm just saying, if you are listening to this podcast and you have a friend who goes on, just sit them down and say, a lot of possibilities might happen. But if you find yourself in this specific situation, do this. Because it just, every season, they find someone who's willing to just go there and just say things like, I know I'll get them to like me.
Yeah.
When they already decided they don't.
And it's just an awkward moment that no one needs.
And it's just,
as soon as Brendan showed up at the door, I was like, oh God, this is not going to go well.
He sat down on the couch like all slowly and was just like, hey.
Yeah, super just cash.
So, hey, how's it going? You know, like, and I'm sure he's a really nice guy. And he was just kind of, but it's like, and he's not the first. He won't be the last. This is going to happen next season and no one's going to listen to me, but I just want that to happen.
I'm not going to lie. Even hearing you say that, if I was in Brendan's shoes, walking into a season, I still would do what he did probably. I would just, because you're trying to convince yourself, like, if I just had, even if it's not true, and, you know, it's a competition and you feel like you haven't gotten this time, you think you're charming, you think you're interesting, you think if you have more time, you guys would have a connection. So you think 20 minutes might buy it.
Yeah.
And then we'll just go look like fools in front of America. But
yeah, I mean, he was fine. He looked a little awkward and it was just, but it's cringe because the whole time, you know, and when they're doing this kind of montage, they're clearly not looking at the person they're talking to, because in America is, because you can see that kind of.
Right. Katie the whole time was just like, ooh, ah. Mm-hmm. And then he's like, oh, you can be drinking beers with my dad. And she's like, oh, I hate beer. I hate dads.
Exactly.
It's like, dude, just
And you're just like, as soon as he stops talking, you know what's going to come. Yep. It's just like, well, now, I don't think it'd be fair for you to go on this group date. I never meant for you to be on, but yeah. So
true.
If it doesn't make sense, if you thought you're going home and you didn't go home, you're still going home. you're getting your home in later. A different, more like you'll be a focus.
Right.
So just
embrace your storyline and go out gracefully.
Whoever does that, I promise you, there's no way they'll be able to edit around it.
Right.
It's your going home, and everyone will love you for being like the, you know, self-aware, selfless guy who could have more airtime but chooses to give it to his guys and blah, 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 blah.
And is this Bachelor strategy? Is this how he pivots out of Bachelorette and into the top spot?
Brandon?
No, really, just anybody. Any guy in that position.
No, because in this position, or girl, because it happens on The Bachelor, maybe Paradise.
Okay.
But, this someone is, clearly isn't, you know, I don't know. I mean, to be honest, other than what, I mean, in terms of Brendan's love story with Katie wasn't mm-hmm. much different than Katie's love story with Matt. The mm-hmm. difference being Katie was more willing to stick her nose in conflict and was able to rise above, because there was a lot of cattiness and mean girl of that season, and Katie benefited from being seemingly the more mature person, and then that was really her storyline. It wasn't right. her love story with Matt
exactly
at all.
Yeah.
So maybe like okay. I guess it could be okay. in a okay. sense. I don't know if Brendan was ever going to be the Bachelor, but
I wouldn't bet on it.
But it was still either way. It's a way for listen. Your best moment is always when you get broken up with. So like do the most with that moment
yeah.
and don't grovel. Oof, and, yeah. and say like, baby, if you just listen to me and we can be together forever when we have nothing really to go on, it's never going to go well.
Right. Fair. I totally agree. I agree with that.
Anywho. Yeah. So we go to the group date. I felt like we were missing something because like, you know, they have this art. And there all these like sexual innuendos popped up. And I'm thinking like, I see a vase or like clearly like it was like the artist's like rendering of her self-portrait of her anatomy. Uh-huh. But like before she showed up, was it obvious that it was like her interpretation of a vagina or am I just like, because that's what they were all like.
I feel like
insinuating.
It was only obvious to me because of how the guys were
that's
reacting.
That's what I'm saying.
To
it. It was like
all of a sudden they were like super uncomfortable, and Andrew's like, and I was like, what?
And again, yeah, that's why I was just like, maybe they're probably sitting there for 20 minutes, and they're like, no, but do you see what we? They're like, I don't know. It's like a fucking. It looks like a vase. Right, I don't know. Right. Like a chalice. I don't know. But apparently.
Chalices isn't
no I get it like yeah. once to Allie's point once they were like ooh and I'm like oh I okay yeah. I get what they're yeah. hinting at yeah. but like I wouldn't have walked in and be like oh my god
right yeah. right okay,
vagina sure. flower vagina. No way.
What are these like art yeah
surrounded by vaginas vagina vases
oh my gosh vagina vases
What did you think of the group date? Did you like it? I don't.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, whatever. Honestly, I hate to just say whatever, but that's kind of how I felt about it.
Do we have any guesses of Blake's drawing? I mean, a full black box.
Full black box.
Which is just like stick figures doing it doggy style.
Probably.
Oh yeah, Justin. Justin won the night with
He's
his. So cute. He really is just. That was really the peak, Justin. We've seen his reactions to anything.
Right.
His reaction was the best on that date.
Oh, it was the best, right?
Of Andrew getting kissed by Katie. And he's like,
and he breaks the fourth wall looking right at the camera. And good for the show for airing that. They don't often do that. And I love that because it's weird. Because it depends on the Bachelorette. Like sometimes they're very careful about like hard makeouts in front of other people, and others don't. I mean, the bachelors usually don't do that. They have a harder time getting away with that. Katie's
going in for the kill.
Doesn't care.
I love it.
It's confirmed. Katie is definitely a hard maker outer.
yeah.
She
gets in there.
The Greg. It's definitely Katie.
Yeah,
I'm sure I was like blaming Connor B, but she
knows what she wants. She commits.
She is digging for the back of that throat. It's
it looks good though. Like whatever is happening, it doesn't look painful. Like I've seen some pretty aggressive makeouts where I'm like, no parties can be enjoying this.
She is leading the kissing though.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that's not bad, right?
It just depends.
Oh, yeah. Tell me more. What's?
Well, it just depends. Like sometimes it can catch you off guard. I'm not saying should. I'm not in any way. But like she, there's you know, it's all chemistry.
Right.
But like she is consistently a hard maker outer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'm not critiquing it, other than the fact I'm just saying it's that it exists.
Observational reporting.
Yes. Yeah. But it is a thing.
It is.
And so she's. You know, let and I bring that up only because she's hard making out with Andrew, who we later find she's about to send home.
And then anyways. They made out again before he got in the car. And I was like, well, why are we still kissing when it's over? And then I just decided she just really likes to make out.
She likes a good make out.
It's a kiss.
Katie really sets the stage going into the cocktail portion. Like the day portion is kind of, again, whatever.
Yeah.
Nothing really happens. There's nothing, nothing's escalated. There's really no drama at this point. It's harder to find the drama when you got like six guys who seem to all just really like
really
each
nice.
Other. But Katie kind of sets the stage home. You know, we're beaten down. Like, this is hometowns. This is hometowns. And so, yeah, we get a bunch of like conversations just, you know, it's weird because like Justin came out of nowhere in terms of his relationship with Katie. Katie was mentioning we should watch out for Justin. We should watch out for Mike. I don't see the connection Mm-mm. between Katie and Justin. Do you?
No, not at all. Justin is so handsome. Like, yeah. I love them visually together, but I don't feel a connection at all.
So when Katie was on our podcast, Katie had mentioned that, you know, we talked a lot about Thomas at the time, and she had mentioned, and good for Katie for flat out saying, I wanted to take him to home to Fantasy Suites to sleep with him. Mm-hmm. Like, it was, she was very forward about like, listen, probably not my guy,
but he's hot.
He looked like a nice bang, and I wanted, yeah. And to Katie's credit, she seems like she is going to approach Fantasy Suite as a way not only to solidify relationships, but to like leverage the freedom that is given to the lead. And I think she is strategically picking her top three. And you know how we kind of always talk about like the fuck, marry, kill game?
Yeah.
I think Katie is playing a game of
fuck,
marry in her head. And Justin is a guy she's like, I want to have sex with him.
Not bad at it.
Justin is in the top, like, and there's no connections. Like, right, you can paint flowers.
Right.
We're never going to end up together. But I want to have sex. And I applaud this.
Same.
And there's no criticism whatsoever. But she's been very upfront about that. And nothing makes sense.
Is Katie an F-boy? I love it. I mean that endearingly.
Sure, yes.
Like a little bit, you know, because like I always
Katie Fox.
Yes. Oh, as she should. That's her right. Oh, that's her right. My friends and I always joke about that, you know, like it's good to have a little F-boy in you because that's the only way to navigate a world full of fuckboys.
I think it's totally fine. She's not a player.
Yeah.
She's a fuckboy.
Yeah.
There is a difference. She sets upfront expectations.
You know what it is.
Like,
if you decide to engage, that's a you thing.
Now, she might, because she is the bachelorette and stuck in this world that forces you to like talk about feelings, she could be setting herself up to be accused of being a player with mm-hmm. Justin, because what we don't know is there like a mutual like we know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going home after Fantasy Suites. maybe not. I don't know.
Right.
But I think we agree that if there is a romantic connection, they're hiding it from us.
We haven't seen it yet.
But after talking to Katie on the podcast and her referring to Thomas, I think Andrew, because like clearly the connection between her and Andrew, like
super
riveting.
Intense.
Riveting.
I'm very
so hot.
Oh my gosh, wait. Yeah. Maybe you're right.
But
she does
like,
just want to hook up with
she's
Justin.
She's like, I'm not going to end up with Andrew. Greg and Blake are my top two.
Oh my gosh. So I just want
to. And I definitely would rather see Justin naked.
I could see that. Because it didn't make sense. When Andrew left, I was like, why is she still crying? Like, she easily could have kept him.
She felt bad. Because, yeah.
Oh my,
she's what? Like, he's nice and he's great.
Right.
But like, I would rather see Justin naked.
yeah. Actually, I'm inclined to agree with you. I see that perspective.
And I respect that.
Oh, maybe
that.
She knew if she slept with Andrew, it would be too emotional is what you're saying. Right, Nick?
Right?
Is that what you're saying?
I think that's nice, but I really, and again, I think this is a selfish choice on Katie's point, and I mean that in a positive way.
Yeah.
She's just not, she's like, I want to see him naked.
Right.
It goes that far. The
Got
thought
it.
Process.
Yeah.
And all that is like a nice, like, yeah, I don't want to hurt him either, but like.
Got it.
She's trying to get to it.
I don't think it's, well, hopefully it is.
Oh.
But like, you know what I'm saying? But yes, I think, yeah, I'm confident in my guess.
Analysis.
So anything else that we're missing from the group date?
I mean, Andrew did that cute little thing for her where like that was like the big setup, right? Like he did the lights thing and then the card from the thing that they did before, and then it was like, I'm falling for you. So it was like super emotional. It was like a setup for like a super look. I bought it hook, line, and sinker.
Oh.
I was a mess.
Oh, we could talk about Justin's painting, for example. I
the butterfly
appreciate Justin, what he did. Who was the one who said like he drew a nice rose and the rest was, oh, Blake. Well, first of all, they probably had 15 minutes. So Justin clearly is like, I know how to draw a rose. And then the rest, he threw in, it's overall nice painting.
Right.
I didn't,
this is so niche, but it's like when you're babysitting kids and you're doing art and then you draw like a rose and then the kids like start to realize that you have a better painting and then they start drawing on top of it. Like that's what it looks like. There's so much going on.
But I also think it was rushed because as they were leaving the painting portion, Andrew talking about his sushi, like in the background, you could hear him talk to the guys and he was like, all of a sudden they were like 5 minutes left. So like clearly they like did not give them an indication of time.
Threw that in. Interesting enough, Andrew's painting.
The sushi.
Like,
the avocado sushi.
But look, if you looked at his painting, that is the type of painting you could walk into like someone's house in Brentwood and they'll be like, I spent $50,000 on this because someone told me it was a hip artist. Right. And you'd be like, okay.
I guess I see.
But like, you see shit like that all the time where like it like was this abstract. Piece of art where like clearly Justin's had a really nice rose, but like he'd filled it in where. You could almost convince someone that Andrew's was a work of art. Clearly it's not, but like I've seen some dog shit paintings that
no doubt
someone told me they spent thousands of dollars because it's like it's the trendy new artist.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that means, but I thought Andrew's wasn't all that bad. What?
Well, I'm like, but he was clearly like taking it like kind of like joking, like having a good time with it. But do you think there's any way that that reveals like maybe Katie wanted someone who's going to take it like a little more seriously?
Like, because
he was just sort of like giggling, and I think there's no issue with that. Like, this is him letting loose, having fun, pulling himself out of his comfort zone. But like, do you think the fact that he was kind of like giggly as he was presenting it is maybe part of the reason she sent him home versus where other guys are still take like 100% earnest in it?
Now I go back to my. She wants to. I go back to like the yeah. It's all about the bedroom, and I hope not because Katie's been a pretty good at knowing what's meant to be taken seriously and when you meant are meant to have fun. And like I think it would be weird for Katie to all of a sudden decide that this is a I'm gonna take this moment very literal,
right?
And like.
Bit of a hard turn.
And they brought out like an artist who's known for painting self-portraits of her anatomy, which is great, but like clearly on The Bachelorette when you do that and then have guys and there was no like paint a picture of your anatomy. It was just like there was really no focus. It was meant clearly silly. And then, oh, by the way, Michael's sculpture, funny. I liked it. His like view from behind. I don't know. Good for him. I don't know. Like it's funny.
Chrissy, your face. Why did
because that comment that came after, wait, what was the comment that came after? It was so freaking funny. It was Justin. He's like, I don't know if Michael's seen Katie's ass, but I hope that's not what it looks like. Like,
the question is, do you think Michael included like the low hanging fruit from the front? Or did you think he got detailed? Or was it just the butt?
Or like taint?
Do you think he was just like, you know, was he trying to give like a? I wonder if he went that far, but like, because they blacked it out, they couldn't like have
show it.
I don't know.
I said that word to tell.
I was just thinking about wow, taint. She really just said taint.
Maybe not. I don't know.
Wow, where do we go from here, Nick?
And I was surprised that it was interesting about that group date is that, well, Michael got the group date rose. I was a bit surprised, I guess. I thought it was going to go to Blake. That was my guess at the time. They keep bringing, like, obviously, we can go back to Michael talking to his son. If there's someone who leaves Katie, it's not going to be Michael. And I say that because it's not because Michael doesn't truly love his son, and it's not because it probably is really hard to be away from his son. But, like, Michael's not going to leave at this point.
Right.
He's been in this quarantine for this long. He's made it this far. Like, it wouldn't make sense for Michael to be like, I can't do it anymore. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't add up. And Michael has talked about how hard it is to be away from his son, but said, hey, listen, there's a reason why I have to focus on my happiness so I can be my truest, you know, fullest self.
Best self for him. Yeah.
And so it just doesn't make sense for Michael to leave because of his, if he leaves, it's not going to be because of his son. They clearly are setting it up that possibly that could happen, but mm-hmm. I don't buy it because he's been there for 5 weeks now. Right. Like he can't, one more week. Is it really going to, if he's true. Really into Katie, uh-huh. it's not going to be why he leaves.
Unless he starts to feel that the emotions are clearly stronger for someone else.
Yes.
And it's like,
but then,
why not be out? Because
then it will be because, you know, whatever Michael says, clear. It will be because I'm your top three,
yeah.
not your top one or two, and I got a kid.
Right, right.
But yeah, I don't think it's going to be Michael. So then Mike gets a date finally. Classically, you know, the virgin, we're going to awkward, reminiscent right. of the Blake date with Tayshia, with the kind of yoga, whatever, you know, it's funny. Now, Katie so mentioned again on the podcast that she like made it seem, I don't know what you guys thought, she made it seem like they might have even gone to third base when she was here.
That was technically what? That's a first base?
Did she
base?
Not? She was...
She totally did. She totally was like, he's got skills. I just didn't know the final skill kind of thing.
Yeah, I was like, do you guys have off-camera time? Or like, she really sold that.
Wow.
She sold it.
I thought she was saying that about like, he's done that before. So like, though he is a virgin, he in a different relationship has had, like has been to third
she
base.
She definitely said that, but she spoke as if she had direct knowledge of these
through her
other
own
skills. Now, on the date, there was some awkward giggling as they reference, and I'm wondering, and it seemed like there was like something going on between, and like I think they were just dry humping like a couple of high school students and laughing about that, and that's what Katie must have been talking about.
Maybe.
Was there much dry humping though? Like it was, all I saw was the cradling and the hugging. I feel like if they dry humped, we would have seen that, especially coming from him.
I don't know if that would have been kind of aggressive to air on ABC, don't you think? If you saw like Katie's straddling him and she's just like kind of slowly,
I can't.
That would have been
dry humping.
I don't doubt it happened. There's a handful of moments like that. Like for example, you know, often a hot tub moment or scene will end afterwards of the guy getting out of the hot tub and. There's stuff going on and ABC is not black boxing the front of his like that happens.
Yeah.
It's a pretty regular thing and they're not showing that. Right. Mm-hmm. And like there are moments like that. And I'm just wondering if the giggling because it seemed like they were
in on it together.
I didn't
get that though. That's okay. What's so interesting. I felt like Katie was giggling because she's like, what the hell is that? What are we doing?
Easily
here?
Could have been that. Like, I could have been be
she's
checked,
already yeah. strategizing for the fantasy suites. So she's sitting here cuddling. I thought they were going on like an ayahuasca journey for a minute. They like landed in the middle of the woods and this lady's just like ready to go. I think he was more into it, I guess. Like just more, he was willing to take it more seriously. And I thought Katie just couldn't take it seriously because what are we doing right now? It felt awkward.
It could have easily been that, and I might be projecting from our interview with Katie, wondering, because she just, I was just like, oh, I can't wait to see this. Like, she talked about him like he might be top three.
Yeah, no, that had "You're Going Home" written all over it the entire time I watched.
So,
and then when he kept bringing up his mom,
so,
I was like,
his
mom? What's going on?
Let's go. I'm glad you brought that up. He has a close relationship with his mother.
I love that. I don't want to hear that while I'm in what I hope is a semi-sexual embrace with you.
Yeah.
You remind me so much of my mother.
Do you think the show did him dirty or that's just they accurately highlighted the slightly uncomfortable relationship he might have with his mom?
I think they accurately highlighted it because they can only work with what you say at the end of the day. It's one thing to cut and splice like a confessional moment, but if you guys are legit in the embrace also, and that's what you decide, that's the sweet nothing you whisper in my ear, sir, it was nice knowing you.
Yeah.
Have a great life.
I know. I felt bad because, you know, like I'm not going to knock a guy for loving his mom.
No, of course not.
I love
that
mom,
for him.
I don't know if I've ever been hugging a girl, let alone like lying down in a sweet embrace and been like, You know who you remind me of?
My mom.
My mom.
Just
like, ooh.
Or the word cuddle and mom.
Like cuddle, cuddle, and mom. Cuddle.
Yeah, hugging, like you cuddle, and then he starts talking about like his cuddle experiences with his mom, which all in a different context. I love. I'm all about it.
Yeah.
I love a mama's boy. Well, I don't love a mama's boy, but like I can respect a mama's boy. I get it. It just was permeating the entire date in a way that was just like, what?
And I'm trying to like empathize with Mike here because I don't want to like, but it was like, and maybe it was because he'd never had time with Katie.
Yeah.
And here he's just like. But, you know, the fact that the virgin guy who has been holding out and that takes a certain level of restraint and you're bottling up emotions and sometimes those emotions get leaked out
and
in ways
like,
that like,
oh, mom.
And I guess you talk about mom. It was.
Look. I will say this. I do feel like he meant it as a compliment. Like, it's funny.
Sure.
It's like, why are you bringing up your mom? Like, really, I don't think there's much to read into there. But I know he meant it as a compliment. It's
yes.
just like, dude, read the room. Like, this is not.
He 100% meant it as a compliment.
Yeah.
It was just. Listen, I guess. And he was obviously talking about the nurturing aspect
for sure.
of, like, Katie makes me feel safe and good.
Yeah.
And so does my mom. But.
So. Is that?
I almost feel bad because I feel like he definitely is going to get roasted for it.
Mm.
And I don't love that, but it's hard not
Mike,
to talk about
guy.
And address. And like just maybe going forward, don't bring up
just
mom
in
the bedroom or
yeah.
like in a cuddle session or like on any dates.
Anything ever.
Like if a girl says like, how's your relationship with your mom? Love my mom. Boom. She's the best. Move on.
Yep.
I don't.
Yep.
You probably don't need to like. Elaborate.
Mm-mm.
You know, like
you do not want to lean into the mama boy of it all.
It's like she's so my mom is
just
no know, one's like her
being
no
here,
one can be you know
like
don't,
in your bosom
yeah I don't
so similar
I only feel safe when I'm
with my mom in my mom's arms.
Do you have you ever dated a guy and I don't even know if Michael said this but like takes out my and just always calls her like, you know, when mom holds me. like as if it's your mom too,
right,
maybe.
Like this
like,
is our mother
like,
now.
Like mom?
Like
universal mom of...
Yeah, mom of
have
all.
Have you ever dated a guy
have
like
I
that?
Ever... No, only if I was in a long-term relationship and we'd gotten to the point where, okay, mom, like he knows who we're talking about. It is what it is. But I've never had a guy that I'm casually dating or dating for a few months drop that on me. That would be a little weird. But just yeah. a little bit. I would probably still date that man, but I would just wonder okay. why he was dropping the my. Why? Is that a thing? You wouldn't do that, right?
I've never done that.
Yeah.
No. But I've noticed, I've had girlfriends do it and it's a little different because I.
Oh,
I,
does it send your alarm bells ringing? Like, oh, mom, our mom. No, your mom.
Well, maybe that's the mama boy and me where I'm like,
you're
what
like,
do you
ain't
mean?
Ain't no, but I got
like,
one
no,
mama.
No, I only have one mother.
Back off.
You're like, no, no.
No, no, no.
So maybe I just outed myself
okay,
there.
Okay.
But yeah, so Michael gets sent home. Mike, whatever. Someone's called. I bet his birth name is Michael.
Yeah.
Was Katie fake crying? Was that real? Right? That was a fake cry.
It's like Greg gave her a little tutorial from his acting school. He's like, so here's what you're going to do. And you send people home.
Yeah.
Yeah. She.
And she leaned into
she
it.
She leaned
yeah.
in. All right. And I will say. It sucks breaking up with people. I love how Katie, Mike goes, I'd rather have my heart broken 1,000
yeah.
times.
Than break a heart.
That was
a,
and Katie's
then
just like.
Break someone else's heart.
Yeah.
Katie. Oh my
She's
gosh.
Like, well, you're a fucking dick for making
right?
me feel like an asshole. Like, power move by Mike. If,
yeah.
If, you know, we've been shitting on Mike a little bit for the mom comments, but that was a strong, whether he meant it or not,
yeah.
was just like.
And I don't think he meant it.
I'm going to make
like
this
that.
Real painful for you.
Like, I could never sign up
yeah.
to be.
I don't know if I have what it takes to be a horrible person. Do you?
She like looks off into the distance.
She
like,
just goes, yeah.
Okay. Right. That's awkward.
while he's wearing his cross, like it's all angelic in that white outfit.
I know.
Yeah, it sucks to get broken up with in a very vulnerable outfit.
He said he looked like a drug lord.
Oh my god. I liked his little, he had the black turtleneck with the chain and the little blazer on top. I was like, okay, Michael.
You've seen the movie Forgetting Sarah Marshall, the opening scene where he's just like naked and she breaks up with him. Have you ever had a moment like that similar? One time it wasn't the breakup, but it was like, we're taking a break and I was about to go running.
Who was naked?
I was like, I felt like Jason Segel in that movie. So I was running and I was putting my, and I was wearing like, and I like, she caught me off guard with, I was wearing a t-shirt and like, and I had underwear on and I had my running shoes and shorts. And I was just like, I've never felt
more exposed so
and unattractive in my life. And this is the moment you're like,
and she's breaking up over with you with them. Oh, and I'm my gosh.
Oh my God. And I,
oh, that's,
and
painful.
That was right when we saw Forgetting Sarah Marshall together. And I will say that movie got me through the breakup. It's one of the best breakup movies of all time,
I'm so curious as to why she chose that moment. Was it just like,
she's a whore? No.
Was it just, you know, like we're going back and forth casually talking and things go from 0 to 100 because I've been secretly planning the breakup?
Probably. I don't know.
Did you put on your pants after, or did you step out of the room?
I definitely went and finished and worked out. But I just couldn't get that, like how I like looked in that moment. And I think, you know, Michael wearing pajamas wasn't quite as bad, but he's just like, I can't. You know, Michael's clearly like kind of a more traditional conservative macho gym owner. Like, he's just like fucking wearing pajamas.
Right.
But
poor guy.
Godspeed, Michael.
Yes. Yes.
I don't know.
I'm rooting for you, Michael.
See him in Paradise. Hard to have a virgin in Paradise.
I do not see Mike in Paradise.
So then we get to the roast. I mean, it's just roast ceremony time. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're there. I mean, I really was. Who is it going to be? I was really, I will say, I thought it was going to be Andrew was going to get the rose, but there was something about like, it could be Justin, and I was basing it off the, because like Justin makes no sense.
Your theory's
like,
right. It's
it makes no sense. Like he's got no, like, and so then we get to the, Andrew had a very bachelor audition send off. I'm for Andrew is the next bachelor 100%. He's my choice. You can't say enough about, like, he just has a good,
he's
a sweetheart. He's funny. He knows how to make fun of awkward situations in a playful, fun way. I do believe his sincerity. You know, he seems like a really nice guy. I do, like, I don't think when Katie didn't give him the rose, like it's kind of like, again, I've seen it rarely, like Andrew was in control of his emotions. I think he was sad, but he was just like, okay, I'm bummed. He was fine. And then you went through this whole leading up to the rose ceremony, the Tayshia, Caitlin and Katie conversation, a little rough around the edges, and I get it, they're just there to set up the stakes of the show, and Caitlin's just like, so you have five great guys and only four roses, and I forgot what Katie said. She's like, absolutely.
Yeah.
It was just very like,
it was a little generic.
Generic. Mm-hmm. Very. It's felt rehearsed. Mm-hmm, it just. Mm-hmm. I was like.
Yeah, I was hoping in that moment, to see a little bit more like girl talk, a little bit more. Yeah. This is what when I went through this, this is how I was feeling, or this is the little nugget of advice I'd want you to take away before you go into that rose ceremony.
Yeah, maybe they said that they didn't air it, but it was a lot of Katie just kind of talking, like in control of her emotions, but talking as if like she wasn't in a weird way,
right?
And like then Caitlin and Tayshia
going torn, even though she wasn't.
We even had, exactly. And then we even at one time had a unison yes from Caitlin and Tayshia. They were just so on the nose with
I can't. I'm so over it.
Chrissy, why?
I feel that because we talked about this last week, and I mean, you're a host. I don't know how you feel about it, but we talked about this last week. There's this like missing, like there's this missing, like dynamic, master of ceremony kind of feeling to it. And and the girlfriend feeling isn't really like connecting with me. I don't know about other people, but like there's something missing. There's the drama, the like hard hitting conversation. There's something missing there. And I'm just like, I'm over it.
Well,
like,
I do agree. You even said, Zuri, it's like, okay, fine. We're not going to have the master ceremony. Let's have more of the girl talk.
Right. But we're not getting that either.
We didn't,
so it's like,
we didn't get that. It was just, again, maybe they did it to their credit and they decided not to air it, but why?
Yeah, well then, and if that's the case, then it's like, it would feel like, I would assume the producers are just trying to take the bites of that felt most hosty and air that, which is trying to make these two women something that they're not. And they made it very clear before the season started, they're not filling in as hosts, but they're not quite being shown to be what the Bachelor franchise told us they were.
Yeah, it's
it. They're just kind of like there.
We don't know what's going on. Yeah, exactly. So yeah, it was kind of. And like I said, like from Katie's standpoint, she was talking like it was just. She was talking about like clearly a decision she had already made, and you know, she was like, she said absolutely in a very like calm. It was just the weirdest response.
Yeah.
To what is supposed to be like, I don't know what I'm about to do.
Right.
I'm about to walk in this room and I don't know who I'm giving my rose to.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
Yeah. Just, no, I'm with you.
Meh.
Yeah. Meh. I agree. Like Chrissy, to your point, I definitely agree that host role, like someone to sort of beginning, middle, end each episode, who feels very much like a third party who's not, is invested in wanting you to find love, but not so in it that it just
feels like how it's going. I want to hear one of them like give Katie some like a thoughtful takeaway because they've been in that experience of something she can use, and maybe I don't know, they can only work with what Katie, you know, I don't know why it doesn't gives. It's not working, but there seems to be something missing. So Andrew doesn't get the rose. He very very bachelor kind of send off.
And then the note with the smiley face. Can we talk about that?
Very much
Thank
so.
You.
Yes. Let's break all this down. So the next day, Andrew comes, knocks in Katie's door. There's a cameraman waiting for her in a room.
Naturally.
Oh, I don't know how well you're.
What?
And Andrew comes in. Love, again. His ability to like really smile, it's good. It's just like, I just didn't want to leave without.
Yeah.
And what this felt like to me is two people trying to almost steal each other's moment, because no matter what, Andrew's still going home.
Right.
Right?
Right.
We don't know this, but like we know this.
Yeah.
So Andrew comes in and it was like, Andrew's like, hey, I want to like one more final, like I'm a great guy, writes a note that says,
if you change your mind, I'll be waiting.
I loved it.
Short, yeah, but okay, get to the part.
But I think
so
but as we later find out, Andrew already realizes he's her fifth choice. So this note clearly isn't meant to be taken literally.
Yeah.
It's just more meant to be like, I'm a real sweet fucking guy.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
Like, here you go. Here's my note. And then the music. I mean, I was touched by like the moment of the music. I mean, it was very dramatic. They shot it beautifully. It was great. Katie's chasing Andrew
down the nondescript hotel lobby.
I mean, again, the cinematography, the editing, fantastic. There was a couple like real rom-com moments. And then Katie jumps into his arms.
She loves an arm jump. She'll hop in an arm.
She's definitely leveraging the fact that she is smaller.
Yeah,
and
get up
and
in there.
Like, that's, get up in there. Good for her. It's a real like embrace.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then she just says, I just wanted to hug you.
Right. What is happening? What is this?
The face Andrew had when Katie came out was all just an endearing, wonderful smile. Like, holy shit, this fucking worked. Like, it was not meant to work.
Right, right.
And she just says, I want to hug you. And you're just like, oh, yeah. a sobering reminder, you're still going home, Andrew.
Right, right.
And then this is where this is kind of almost seemed like this like face off between like who gets to look the best in this
in
moment.
The end.
And Katie is just like, well, like, would you want to stay?
If you like could.
And despite Andrew saying, if you change your mind, right, I'll be waiting, Andrew's like,
no.
I'm like, let's be honest, I'm your fifth choice.
But how about, maybe not fifth choice, maybe third in her heart. She, because Justin, we're going to, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. She's like, I would marry you third.
Right. But since I'm not married,
but I want to sleep with you the fifth.
basically.
And Andrew, like, is just like, why are you taking this away from me? Like, I just wrote you a nice card, right, to look good. And now I have to turn down.
Exactly.
The invite to potentially stay. Like, babe, right, why, right, are you, right, like, you're, right, not, what? No, no, you were not. Cool. Spo- like, I was supposed to be gone. I said, right, wait till I'm gone so you, right, can't ask me back.
Like, and then he pulls out the, you know, which is fair. Like, he wants to feel like, oh, his wife is choosing him.
I totally.
But then I'm like, why'd you write the note?
So, well.
Well, because it was just to
so he could
look
be a
like
great,
that guy.
Yeah.
Which,
yeah.
Listen, which he is probably that
it's
guy.
It's a not, TV show. Yeah, like, yeah, yeah, you know, and who knows? Maybe someone was like, a note like this might sound and look real good.
Yeah.
Here's a date card.
And just
here's the same, you know, paper we use for date cards. And here, mm-hmm, you know, like, maybe here you go.
Right,
and,
right.
Or Andrew asked for it. It could have been either.
Okay.
There are
okay.
people who get suggestions and there are people who make their own ideas in that world.
Right.
But yes, I think Andrew was like, you're not supposed to.
Like, he was already walking in his bachelor destiny.
Like, why you gotta put me in a spot like this? Like, why do you gotta take me back?
I
like,
know,
I don't know. But Andrew handled it, still recovered.
Still good.
Won the moment by saying, I'm just like, come on.
Yeah.
I'm your fifth
and
choice.
You feel for him.
At that point, I didn't feel for him anymore.
Why?
Because he's okay.
No, that's what I mean. Like, I feel his perspective. I get why he's still going home. Yeah, you feel why he's like, no thanks.
Oh, I 100% got it.
I don't feel bad for him because also his future's bright. I feel like we haven't seen the last of him. I think he knows we haven't seen the last of him. That's a good thing.
I haven't liked many people as much as I like Andrew. Just the whole package. He just seems like a really cool hang. And my favorite moments of Andrew is most people in that world like resort to kind of high school, middle school, wherever the pack is going, wherever the mob mentality is going, they follow suit. Andrew was his own sounding board.
Right.
He went against the grain all the time. And every time he did, quite honestly, I agreed with his point of view.
Yeah.
Not easy to do. And he did it in a way where he's like, guys, I'm just,
That's brave. It is, because I hate groupthink, but it's so easy for people to succumb to it, especially in a setting like this one. So to kind of go against the grain takes so much more resolve and says a lot about who you are and your self-awareness and what you're going to do and what you're not willing to do for the sake of getting along with others, which I really respect.
Yeah. So we have four left. Predictions. What do you think?
I mean, I wanted it to be Greg, but now you guys have me thinking he's like this master con artist.
I don't know. Who knows? He could still win because, interestingly enough, like, you know, I don't want to necessarily. I think after watching this episode and listening and thinking about my interview with Katie, maybe Katie is indulging in playing her role as a bachelorette because, again, like what she painted the picture of her and Mike wasn't exactly what we saw.
Mm-hmm.
I did get her to confirm that her heartbreak was, in fact, legitimate, real-world heartbreak.
Mm.
We saw in the preview where she's like, my person might have just left.
Right.
And then they're setting it up like someone left her. But that easily could have been like, we've seen
this
before.
No, I thought it was Andrew still.
We've seen this before with the show, kind of to your point, where the lead sends someone home and says, I might have just sent my person home. And it's just like some sort of canned line they put in.
Right.
Up the stakes. It's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And quite honestly, that looked like that rather than someone. Katie looked in that little like snippet in the preview looked in control. She didn't look devastated.
Right.
She looked, I don't know, maybe my He's so perfect. Maybe right. he left.
Which has kind of been the general theme. Which yeah. I'm not mad at. Like, she's very much in control of her emotions. She knows what she wants. It definitely lessens the drama, which might be why she leaned into the, oh, Mike and third voice or whatever, you know, because she is generally drama free, which is a part of her charm and what makes her attractive to me.
But if Katie, if no guys leave Katie, do we, like, are we bummed that Katie had us believe that she felt heartbreak? Can we believe that Katie felt legitimate heartbreak the way just by breaking up with some, that sending someone home and then getting engaged to someone else?
Yes.
Could it, could can, the heartbreak?
What, you believe, you, you, we can still believe her. Okay.
You don't?
No.
I think with this show, especially, like, you can fall in love with more than one person. And if you feel like really like a Ben or somebody like that, who like really genuinely like fell in love with so many people, you can experience like that kind of heartbreak, think, despite the fact that you're the one breaking up with them.
I still think Lauren was always Ben's choice, but I could be wrong. She sold it like someone left her, but it feels weird because, like, based on what Katie said, I want Katie to find love and happiness. Mm-hmm. But based off what Katie said, I will feel cheated as a viewer if Greg doesn't crush her heart and then she ends up and finds so happiness terrible. With Blake. I'm just saying, like, as a viewer, like, they're setting it up.
She set some expectations. They, well, yeah.
And also the show is kind of setting it up this way right. where Greg, oh, I don't know, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And it seemed like, as a viewer, right? Like, yeah. Katie has been into Greg way more than anyone else. Like, that's just how it seems, whether it is real or not. So there's like, I will be disappointed as a viewer because they're setting up this very dramatic thing. And again, I think she really likes Blake. So even if Greg leaves, I think it will probably be better off for her.
Right.
What do I know? But if you asked me, I don't think Greg and Katie are working in the real world.
Why not?
I just don't see it.
Just because you don't see the connection at all. Like, no, no true chemistry.
I just don't buy that Greg's into Katie.
Okay.
And maybe Greg can get sucked up into a world where it's intense, but outside of that world,
it's not sustainable.
I don't see Greg staying in love with Katie. Mm. Might could be mm-hmm. totally wrong. Mm-hmm. I, you know, and you know, someday they'll be married and have five kids, and people will constantly tell me,
remind
me of this episode and how wrong I was. But that's just how
until
how I see it from what I'm watching.
Yeah.
But I definitely could be wrong.
Okay, I'm gonna have to go dig into all of the conspiracies after this because I'm not seeing that yet. Like, I know I've heard of the whole Greg is here for the right reasons thing, but maybe I just haven't seen enough outside of the show when it comes to the gossip and the rumor mills to really believe it. I just
all I've really heard is the acting school, which I agree with you. I know that's like that, like, so what?
Yeah,
so what? And that's not why I have a problem with, I don't care about the acting school. I don't buy it.
Okay.
Like, there's been other people in other seasons, you're like, I just don't think he's that into her.
Right
or she's not that into him.
Yeah. Okay,
you know. But it's tough.
I'm gonna sit with this. I need to
Like, rewatch. Greg's just done a great job of, you know, where Thomas made the mistake is, you're the greatest thing ever. It's the greatest connection I've ever felt in my life. And you're just like, and Greg's just kind of been this reluctant,
right?
You know, heartthrob.
Yeah.
Just like, oh.
Which is just so attractive.
I know. Again, I think he's Thomas is doing a much better job.
Yeah. Okay. Nope. I'm not going there with you. I still stand by Greg as a potential true. I don't think he's Thomas. Okay. I will say that. I wouldn't go so far as to say he's Thomas. You think he's what? Just giving just enough to get to the end, be endearing and kind and not any sort of obvious villain to pivot into Bachelor territory? Like, y'all really think?
I don't even think it's that, like, Machiavellian. Okay. I mean, if. Because what was Thomas really guilty of, other than maybe overstating his feelings for Katie? Uh-huh. Because it's what he thought he should say.
Right.
I thought about being the Bachelor, blah, blah, blah. Like, everyone's thought
exactly.
that. I don't criticize
Thomas. He just said it out
loud. He just overdid it.
Yeah.
You know, he played the game too aggressively. He came out in the first quarter and just a little too amped
up. Coming in
up.
Hot.
Came yeah. in hot, right? and what I'm saying is Greg is finding himself in this very staged and controlled atmosphere that can maximize your feelings. You get caught off guard. But I think deep down, Greg's in control of his feelings. And I think deep down, Greg knows this isn't my person. But because of the nature of the environment and the stakes there, he's allowing himself to believe the lie as well. But I think deep down,
because he
Greg,
went to acting school.
Not even that. Like, I think he can do that without going to acting school. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really don't care about the acting school, but I do think he's in more, I think he's in control of his emotions. And I don't believe that Greg met the love of his life in Katie.
Yeah.
I could be totally wrong. But that's just how I'm seeing it.
Yeah. I'm not convinced it's the love of his life, but I, for now, am believing that there's some sort of genuine connection.
I think Greg said, I think I've met the love of my life.
Oh, well, that I don't believe.
He did.
Okay. Yeah.
So, and now that we're getting into the end, it's okay for Greg to say things like that, where Thomas was saying it like when he, he's like, hi, nice to meet you. I'm Thomas. You're the most amazing thing I've ever.
This is it.
Oh my God. Right, I can't believe. Right. Like, we're like, whoa, that's week six, right, buddy. Like, right, calm down. Right. Like, did you not do your homework? Greg did his homework.
You make an argument that is strong.
And I still like Greg, but I empathize because, again, that is a perfectly engineered environment. And,
right.
But
love of my life. Okay, you're right. Maybe I glossed over that as a small red flag, all things considered. I just really liked them making out in the rain, and I felt like
totally.
Fish toss.
I think when Greg is talking to Katie, what he really says is, you seem cool. You're a cool hang.
This is awesome.
This will do for now.
Okay. Stomp on my dreams.
I'm probably wrong. My hopes. And when Katie and Greg end up together and get married.
No. So who right now? Blake?
I think it's like a dark horse and it's kind of a hot take, but Blake, yeah.
Blake, okay.
Michael's top three. Blake and Greg are final two, and at some point, well, I don't know. She says it ends differently, so who knows? Zuri, thank you so much for coming.
Thank you, Nick.
Always a pleasure.
Great to be here.
Please remind the people of all the great things that you're doing and where they can follow you, find you, and all that fun stuff.
You can follow me on Instagram at Zuri, Zuri. H-A-L-L, Hall. And you can listen to my podcast, Hot Happy Mess, every Monday, wherever you get your podcast. It's just best life minus the burnout. We're trying to find the magic in the middle of our messes. So it's all lifestyle. And right now we're in our wellness series. We just finished career and finance. We talk about love and relationships. So it's just a holistic portrait of millennial skinny jean wearing.
Great. It's amazing podcast. Be sure to check it out. Subscribe to her podcast. Listen to it. Thank you guys for listening so much. Be sure to check out our Ask Nika episode on Mondays. We'll be back with Olivia O'Brien tomorrow. And until then, thanks for listening.